Look, it's never gloomy. And our next guest joins us. You know what I mean? Broncos legend, Queensland
34
Origins,
258 games for the Broncos, 24 tests.
One of the finest water boys that the NRL has ever seen, still going around. Good morning, Alfie Langer.
Good morning. Yeah, I still don't know what I'm looking for either. I'm just relaxing up on the coast here. Just having a great day.
Alf, it's always a pleasure, mate. I know you.
World Cup, Alf, have you been watching it? And what have you made of it?
Oh, I think it's pretty entertaining. I thought the Tongan Samoan play before the game and the huckers and just seeing the crowd go wild. It was just great to see.
Yeah, it was. It was really, really great atmosphere. I understand you had a big weekend. Did you and Kevy catch up? Kevy Walters?
Yeah, we had Jetty Walters 21st at the Caxton. So the Caxton boys looked after us there and certainly so did a lot of Jetty's mates. I had a great time there.
Did you, Alfie? Did you have a good time too?
Well, I thought I was 21 too there at one stage.
Yeah.
Alfie, you know what we get told during the Origin camp? A lot of people like Brent Tate, who tell stories out of school, claim that you say that every night's someone's birthday and then you just give them some drinks.
Some Zambuca.
Yeah, they get some special shots, but I've turned to the fireball now, which a lot of blokes don't like having.
What is that? What's a fireball?
It's like a cinnamon whiskey.
Yes.
So it's
okay, fireball.
You can toast it all the way down. So boys don't like it. All the green chartreuse, so turn away.
Oh.
Green chartreuse.
Every night is a birthday party with Al.
Well, we can talk.
Will Chambers is not a big fan. There you go.
Well, we can talk about that. We got something serious. We got serious business,
serious
though,
business.
Alf, because we've got you on for a serious business. Because you may not have known this, but the Brisbane Radio Advertising Society's had their big awards night over the weekend.
Bras.
And I know that you were busy, and I know that you couldn't attend, Alf. But they asked us to do this on radio, so hit the music, please, Brendan. Alfie Langer, did you know that you were nominated for the best person, the best character inside a radio commercial for the 2017. Did you know that?
I didn't know. Not at all.
Okay, well, here we...
Contested, though.
Oh, well, they've got your old number. These were the finalists. There was this one, of course, first finalist. At
Narangba,
yes, the...
classic. Jack.
The Narangba Timbers Choir. Very good work. Please pull that down. This was another nominee this year for best character in an ad.
Hello, Frank Walker from National Tiles.
Yes,
this week only at
National
Tiles. That's enough, Frank.
That's really him.
No, it's not. That's Danny Minogue doing that voice. and then the other nominee was, of course, Alan Langer for his Height for Hire work.
G'day, Alan Langer here. Back in my playing days, when I wanted to look a front rower in the eyes, I used to have to tackle him around the ankles and bring him down to my size.
Yeah, great joke. Great joke. Great. Alfie, was that your first take? That sounded like your one take wonder, Alfie.
Well, I had a big night the night before, so it did take a few.
The Compare the Market Meerkats were disqualified for being fictional. And drum roll, please. It gives me great pleasure to announce that the winner of Best Character in an Ad 2017 from the Brisbane Radio Advertising Society is Alan Langer.
Yay!
Alan Langer, you've done it.
Here we go. How wonderful.
Well played, Alf.
We'll be going straight to the tour room, guys.
Yep.
Congratulations, Alf. I can tell you that you've won a bottle of Fireball and a bottle of green chartreuse. So congratulations.
I can't wait for the Origin series next year. It'll be popping up your birthday.
Happy birthday, Alf. See you later.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
We got a young bloke. Well, it's Rick. It does all our audio. Yeah, if we go to any grabs or throws or magnificent, wonderful human being. His young son is what, he'd be 15 now.
15, yep.
Yeah.
15, batting, you know, because it's they're getting into next year's cricket season at school cricket, okay? So they're getting ready for, you know, they play February till Easter, play cricket. Good young cricketer. He's always loved it. And Rick always goes out most weekends, watches his games, and catch up with him and go, how'd he go? Oh, he got a good 20, he got a good 35, all that sort of stuff. Well, now, of course, he's in grade 10. He's being asked to train against all the bigger kids who can whistle them down at 120, 130 an hour. One of the most wicked injuries. Got hit on his finger the other day. Must have hit it so hard it popped the nail off.
Mm.
He didn't just bruise it. Like sometimes you get hit straight, it popped the nail off. So it's like a dislocated. You can fold it back on, but it's of no use. It'll eventually fall off.
But he caught it
on the wash. They're the ones where you catch that nail on everything. You know, you seem to just click it.
And it's so painful. I lose toenails like people do roast dinners because I'm a runner and I wear tight shoes because it makes it feel better and more secure. But my big toenails. But if you were to look at my toes, they're disgraceful.
Kath did that on working the Kokoda. She lost both her big toenails. Mm. Well, it's a
Gymnast
weird one.
Gymnasts do it. Ballerinas do toenails a lot.
I used to do my left thumb. I always figured if I got cancer, it'd be on my left thumb just from hitting it when you're holding nails and just whacking.
Bang.
That's the thing you hit. The whole of my life, that nail was popping off.
What okay, let's get into it.
Let's play a game.
Yep. How did you lose a nail? How did you lose a toenail? How did you lose a fingernail? Was it work-related? Was it recreational? Was it for a dare?
Can I give you
another
one?
Because I've never lost a nail. I've never lost
Haven't
a nail.
You?
No, never lost a nail.
All right, can I tell you another one? Because we were used to, during the daytime, we used to wear steel cap boots.
Mm.
And if you drop anything, you know, you're building houses and you've just laid a pine floor, you'd know if you dropped anything, you'd ding the floor. So you'd catch things, you know,
with
tools that would fall off
boot.
Onto your boot. Unfortunately, when you're at home, you're wearing your thongs and something drops and you catch it with your... Does anyone else do
what
this?
What are we learning about Mardo
Ouch.
This morning?
Ouch.
You're a bit of an idiot when it comes to your digits.
Not accident prone, but prepared to put my body on the line. I think. All right, let's go to the nail thing. Come on.
How did you lose a nail, finger or toe?
Any prizes?
Yeah, prizes for the most gruesome story.
Not surprisingly, Ed, you haven't done anyone. Any nails? Anyway.
Whatever.
You need to get out more in your thongs.
Oh, yeah, Damien.
That's true. I probably do, yes.
Damien of Brighton, tell us about losing a nail.
When I was young, probably a good 25 years ago now, we had a storm coming over and had to run around the house, shut the windows, and I was jumping over a stool and the big toe kind of got caught in the carpet, tripped over, and the base of the big toe popped out.
Oh, on the bottom end. My God. Does it hurt?
Oh, just a little bit.
It's excruciating.
Mum's a nurse and she was at work that day and she said if she was home, she would have just ripped it off. And let a new one grow, but Dad popped it back in and...
But it didn't grow back, did it? They just wither away and then you can pull it off a week later.
Yeah, it kind of fell off eventually, but now that big toe's all, it's not a very nice-looking toenail now.
Yeah, because if you damage the nail bed, which is what I've been told, they actually never repair themselves. It's like cartilage in ears. If you actually damage the cartilage in your ear, that's why those cauliflower ears never change.
Can you get, like, plastic surgery on your nails? Can you have your nails, improved?
Well, that's what fake nails are. That's exactly what it is.
You put acrylic over the top of them.
Yeah, righto.
And you just hide the fact that your nails are really dodgy.
All right.
Gee, I'm not keen on girls who do their nails before they go camping. It's an indication to me I'm not doing much to help.
I
just remembered.
Peter of Pimpamar, tell us about your nail loss.
Mate, I lose nails every at least once a week. I deliver frozen kebab sticks. Up to 25 kilos.
And what happens?
I'm always wedging my fingers in between sticks or dropping the sticks onto my hands.
My God.
Oh, that's awful. That is
awful. Yeah, I've done a toe last week and, it's nice and black. It's ready to come off now.
Peter, that's extraordinary.
Mate. Okay, now, you would know how long it takes for them to grow back because mine take forever.
Roughly around 8 weeks, I'll get mine back.
8 weeks? You said nonchalant.
Yeah, where were you those kebab things?
Oh, I only do up to 25 kilos, but you can get up to 50 kilos.
So they're frozen. They are frozen.
They're frozen solid.
Hey, mate, a good kebab shop, let's say a popular kebab shop, how quickly would they go through a 25-kilogram one?
25.
Oh, mate, a couple of hours.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
What an interesting job.
We are in the wrong game.
The best kebab shop is at Hyperdome Origin. Tell them Peter sent you.
Will do. If I produce one of your nails, do I get a discount?
Oh, mate, they'll probably give you one of my nails back.
Oh, don't.
What a good name. Origin Kebabs.
Loving it. Hyperdome.
All right. Have we got another nail man here? Terry from Scarborough. What's it been? Finger or toenails?
Mate, it's the root finger in my right hand. I was helping a mate out at a construction site, and he was putting flooring down with the joist exposed, and we had to move a steel beam across the joist to the other side of the room.
Yeah.
And it took about four guys to lift it and move it. And one of them was the owner who wasn't going to lift it, but he said, once you get it up, I'll give it a shove. So we got underneath it, no gloves or anything. And, mate, we started to lift it, and as we lifted it, he shoved it. And my finger hit a noggin, and my nail hit a noggin, and my finger kept going.
Yeah.
By the time I pulled my finger out from underneath, the skin had peeled back a centimetre each side past the nail bed and was on the right angle.
Oh,
that's excruciating.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I just folded it back down and taped it up, and
back
then I went
work.
Home.
Can we just check?
I went back to work and I went home afterwards, though, and it made it throb.
Just check.
For about a week non-stop.
Duct tape or electrical tape? What'd you strap her up with?
Yeah, the black stuff, mate. The black stuff.
Yeah, that's the medical tape. Wowzers. Okay.
I think we got a winner.
Good on you, Tez, Marto, Ed, and Robin for breakfast.
So much sport over the weekend to talk about. Now, we are going to deal with the Rugby League World Cup pretty much by itself a little bit later on. Robin, I know you want to talk about the cultural challenge off between Tonga and Samoa.
Told you it was going to be good, the Samoans.
Mate, that haka off was brilliant. So was the Papua New Guineans and the Irish. But anyway, I digress.
Let's talk soccer first. Tim Cahill's ankle, that's the big story. How is it? What would you do? Would you have sent him over there to Honduras?
Yes, send him over to Honduras. Why not? His ankle's not looking very good, but FIFA's pulled one of their tricks. I always say this, let's not forget, when they gave the World Cup to Qatar, the only people that officially complained were England, Australia, and America. So FIFA's going to punish those three countries till the end of time. And FIFA has, in all their wisdom, has eliminated all of Honduras's yellow cards, all eight of them, which would have meant they just got rid of. They said, nah, those don't count anymore, yellow cards.
And so they can do whatever they like, knowing they won't get suspended for the second game in Australia.
Yep, but they decided to keep all of Australia's. So there you go. So,
oh, my God.
It's disgraceful. Anyway.
Well, that's FIFA. That's the fixes in, my friends.
Moving on.
Where do we go? Rugby, I'll just tell you one thing quickly. Queensland Country, coached by Brad Thorne, are into the final of the NRC. They were a joke last year. Brad Thorne has turned them around in one season. That's all you need to know. The final's on this weekend.
Okay. Can I
tick that one?
UFC. Yeah. Yesterday, all my friends were just talking about Bisping versus GSP, this Georges Saint-Pierre.
He hadn't fought for 4 years. He hadn't been into an octagon for four years.
No. Did you guys see any of it?
Yes.
It was unbelievably brutal. This is the closing stages.
Hold on, just remind everyone. Hang on. Now, GSP, he had blood. His nose was complete write-off.
You can
he had
do
blood
anything,
over his whole
can't
face.
You?
Well, he had been taking, as they call, elbows from below.
There you go.
So he was.
Look at that photo of him.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's the winner.
He's the one who won.
Oh, my God.
So let's have a listen to the closing stages. Right, that is the sound of GSP choking a man until he's unconscious. But they asked Bisping, as GSP's on his back with a chokehold around his neck, the referee says, are you going to tap out? And the guy just shakes his head. Nah, I'd rather go unconscious than tap out.
Why? Is there money involved in that?
No, because that's tougher. It's tougher to get choked out.
You had enough yet?
Oh, that's appalling. Did he get a lot of money to do it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I hope so.
Let's talk cricket. Let's talk cricket. None of the number sixes. Did you see Hazelwood took 3 for 3?
Yeah.
New South Wales against
WA. Yep.
But the problem was that all three wickets, Sean Marsh, 2 runs, Hilton Cartwright, 0, Mitchell Marsh, 0, were all in the race. Yeah, we keep on talking. We haven't got a number six for Australia, Robin.
Mm-hmm.
All of them failed, so it was good. And you know who that leaves? The only contender this season in the opening 2 rounds of the Sheffield Shield. Let me finish. Darren Lehman's son, Jake.
No.
Dad and his son.
Why are you saying no, Ed?
You can't pick the coach's son.
Saves on accommodation. Just camp and get a little roll out in Dad's room.
You cannot pick. But this is a problem for Jake Lehman.
I know.
Because he does seem to be a genuinely good batsman and you should get picked on form, but you can't pick the coach's son. Marto, you've coached junior rugby your whole life. You can't pick the coach's son. What does it do to the dressing room?
After under 15, she can no longer coach your son's team. I'm sorry.
Well,
I know that's
go.
A truth.
Okay.
It's tough. Right, where we? V8 picked Jamie Wincup on top after winning yesterday's race. Him and Scott McLaughlin will fight it out. There's only Newcastle last race to go, isn't it?
Yep.
One to go.
Last
Righto, one. That'll be a grand final. What haven't we talked about?
I don't know. You're all good? Feeling better, you two?
No. Hold on. One little one from the Rugby League World Cup. England, Lebanon, Saturday night.
Mate, you don't buy it. What's on my arm?
Robbie. You don't buy, mate. You don't buy it.
What?
Didn't you see that?
Oh, did he say he got bitten?
Yeah. Oh, haven't you seen
this? Hang on, I didn't understand that. What did he just say?
It was the late... Well, we'll play it again. It was the late game Saturday night. Oh, a lot of people didn't watch it because it was after Samoa Tonga. Everyone hung up their boots.
Yeah, I've stopped,
Righto. England played Lebanon. It was 6-6 at one stage, but Robbie Farah's gone to wrap up the winger from England and had his arm around in his mouth. What else was he supposed to do? He had a mouth guard in. What did you say, Robbie? So the bloke said, mate, I've got a mouth guard in. I couldn't have bitten you. Doesn't matter, mate. Look, he bit me.
Oh, I thought when he said, what's on my arm, the answer is a tattoo.
G'day, this is Mark Howard. If you're into sport, you'll love my podcast, The Howie Games. Experience raw, open and honest conversations with a bevy of sporting superstars. Hello, Kevin Peterson.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about The Howie Games.
Kathy Freeman.
Ah, thanks for being you.
Mick Fanning, welcome to The Howie Games.
Yeah, Howie, how are you, mate?
That's The Howie Games, and it's on Podcast One now. Download the app or listen at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Okay, the other thing that was on TV last night that was caught my attention was the story on Sunday night. It was actually really sad. The mother of a Queensland woman who's pleaded guilty to stabbing her grandfather. Oh, so basically awful. This woman's daughter killed her father.
So the one that came up from Adelaide?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Or rather went from Brisbane, drove to Adelaide.
Oh, went
took
from
out,
Brisbane to
yes,
Adelaide.
Yes. Sadly killed her grandfather then.
Didn't
came
she take
back
a
home.
Mate as well?
Yes.
How much trouble are they?
Yeah, a lot. Oh, right. And she's in jail and the mother was talking about it. But one of the interesting things that came out of the show was that the motivation, it would seem, or one of the things that the woman was talking about was that her father used to hold cash because he didn't trust the banks. And one of the issues that she felt contributed to all of this was he had over $120,000 in cash.
Jeez.
In his house. This morning in the paper, she's actually warning and saying to families, please check, particularly with elder Australians, that they don't have great wads of cash and that people don't know about it. But when I said that to you this afternoon, this morning rather, you said that you keep cash and you advise
people
to keep cash.
Well, you know, if you sell a car,
yep.
I will always, if I ever sell a car, I'll always ask for cash. I don't take cash.
Why?
Cash is king. I'm a former tradesman and the statute of limitations, you can't get to me, tax department, but we used to get paid a lot of cash in the olden days.
A lot
days.
Of people did.
That's right.
That's not unusual.
I'm sorry, but you know, when John Hewson and John Howard said we'll get rid of this cash black economy and get the GST, it only encouraged people to more often charge
but
cash.
Why?
Because it's cheaper. It's 10% cheaper any job I do for you if you pay me cash.
And then do you
realise that if you get me to do your tiling at your house or your paving or something like that,
yeah.
I have to give you a bill and there's 10% GST on that. Of course, if you give me cash, you don't have to pay that. Mm-hmm. You know, you just give me cash, you don't have to worry about that.
And so because of the whole implications of having too much of it, you keep it somewhere weird.
Well, plus, do I have to talk through everything? This might help somebody, but what happens?
Yes.
I've still bought the pavers and the tiles and stuff and they're getting flushed through and everything else, and that's how the world of... Being a tradesman, it's one
but,
of the
okay,
joys
but,
of being
okay,
a tradesman
okay, okay,
and doing
okay.
a weekend job.
But does that mean that you still want to have cash readily available to you?
I love having cash. I know a lot of people haven't touch cash for years probably. Do you reckon that's the case, Ed?
And getting more so as well.
You probably look sus if you've got cash. I don't know, but I've always had it. My grandfather was a farmer. He always had cash here, there and everywhere. And I don't know. My dad didn't because he had I don't get cash here because there's no possibility. This is a silly job. You've got to get paid properly.
You don't get the envelope.
But you think about it. Well, the last time I had cash was when I sold my car last year.
And you held on to that. Do you get excited about getting cash?
I love having cash.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't there anyone else? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Least am now, you know, I can't be done over for this, but some people now might still be taking cash.
I don't know. Must be then, from what you're saying, people who have wads of cash in their person.
But I don't think they want to ring a radio station and tell us.
No. But or found it. Like there's stories of people buying houses where they found cash stashed.
In up
weird
in the
places because other people have held on to the cash.
Just inside the manhole.
I'd love to know.
Always have a look at manholes. If there's dirty fingerprints, it means people have been going up there a lot. So you reckon?
Yeah.
Do you always look at that?
Yeah, that. I don't because I'm not enough houses, but I'll start now. So cash stashing tales. Maybe you found some cash. Maybe you know, you can remain anonymous.
Yeah,
maybe you've got an elderly relative who... was a cash stasher. There was a story, I believe, somewhere, I can't remember where it was in Australia, where they found the old, the grandma died. They went to her house and she'd been stashing gold bullion for years. There was a cabinet full of gold bars, Marto. She was converting it. Yeah, she had a cabinet. Like
where would
cabinet.
You put it? Freezer's old school, isn't it?
Old school.
Between you know the mattresses, old school.
Do you know a cash stasher? Or have you found some cash? Stashes of cash.
This is another reason not to get an account on your phone, because if you have a bet at the TAB and you have a win, money's coming over at you. Give me that.
That's true. It's not cash. It's a credit on your phone. So,
no,
John.
Bang of that.
John from the Gold Coast. Who was a cash stasher?
It was my uncle. He passed away last year. And before he passed away, he was in hospital and my auntie and uncle went around to his house and said, we better find him some clothes. Pulled out some pants and cash just started falling out. So they searched the place and about 125 grand.
Hell yeah. Give me some details of where this money came from.
Mate, it was under paper in the drawers, stashed in curtain rods, underneath pot plants.
Wait, the curtain rods.
Curtain
was he
rods?
Rolling it up and
That's
putting it inside?
One.
Sorry?
Was he rolling it up and putting inside the curtain rods?
He was. It was stashed everywhere.
What?
And cereal John, boxes, under mattresses.
Cereal boxes. John, did he tell them, did he give them like a little treasure map or whatever, or did they just have to try and just look everywhere?
No, but while he was in hospital and he was a bit delirious, he kept saying, check the house, check the house. And he lived in a nice little flat, nothing too fancy, but we never knew why it had so many bars on the windows and three deadlocks on the front door, but now we do.
Hey, John, bikey or tradesman?
Banker. Didn't trust
banker.
The bank.
That's great. A banker that didn't trust the banks. That's great. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Oh, another John.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Who's the cash stasher?
Well, I was a cash stasher. I sold a car for healthy mid-six figures, and the gentleman that bought it flew up on the aeroplane, and he did it really good, actually, to be quite honest with you. You know them little parcels you give little boys and girls for their birthdays? They're like a little floral packaging thing.
Is that what he had it in?
He had happy birthday and all that written on it. Was healthy six figures, all in cash. And
so more than 100 grand, but in the movies that'd be in a briefcase, wouldn't it?
It's not a lot of money really all in one wad, to be quite honest with you. Sold a couple of cars that are in that figures and you think it's a lot, but it's really not. So
and just hand it over. Hand it over in a little Hello Kitty pencil case.
Yeah, there you go. Like, literally, you just sit on the front seat of your car, you wouldn't even know it was there.
Okay, what sort of car? Just tell me.
Just a dirty old Falcon.
Oh, dirty old Falcon.
No, Falcon GT it'd be.
He means, I know what we mean, what you're talking about, John. Okay. Robin, who is the cash?
Morning, guys.
Hello, Robin.
How are you?
Going very well. Who's...
We didn't find gold bars, but we found the equivalent of 16 big silver bars. My granddad had a radiology practice, and when they'd clean out the tubs, they'd end up making silver bars.
Yeah.
So my grandma would sew them in the door stoppers, put them in material, and we had door stoppers everywhere. We kept thinking, what the heck are in these when we're cleaning out the house?
Made of pure silver.
They were pure silver, like these small bricks. And they were all door stoppers, and there were 16 of them, and they'd all come from his radiology practice.
Oh, good Lord. And all right, so you cashed them in, I figure.
No, we still have the door stoppers because we don't know what to do with them.
I could come up with a whole lot of jewellery designs for you.
God,
that would be fantastic.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a good one.
See ya.
You can see him on Richo Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on Sky News. He writes in Australian newspapers about politics. Graham Richardson joins us on the line. Morning, Richo.
Good morning.
Hey, mate, I'm in the mood for a new Prime Minister. Am I any chance of getting one?
I reckon you're a big show, a very big show.
Okay.
What stage are we at, Richo? Like, we keep on saying Turnbull's making mistakes here and there. How close are we realistically?
Well, that will depend upon the courage of some people in the Liberal Party, actually. Seems a bit lacking at the moment, but they'll get there. In the end, self-interest will always win out. And they know that self-interest is... Jack Wayne once said it's the only... You should always back it. It's the only horse in the race that's always trying. I think you've got to find that in the end, they'll have to move on him because they know that if they stick with him,
when the crunch comes, they're going to lose too many seats. They need someone to save the furniture.
Okay. And it looks like Julie Bishop's the only one in that category.
Yeah, but will she?
Of course she will.
Yeah, I mean, what it requires, though, is someone to get out there and do something for her, like the Clary Mon and all the rest of it, and do a bit of organising.
She's not the sort to do it herself, but she'd love the job.
Right, right.
She's built for it. All those beautiful clothes and everything. You wouldn't want to waste them, is it?
Did anyone see the hat she wore to the Derby Day the other day? Look like a flying saucer. Magnificent. That's what I need in a Prime Minister. So you're saying she'll need someone who's got some courage to step out and declare their hand and say, hold on, Turnbull's gone. What is his problem?
What is Turnbull's problem?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are just driving to work going, I can't see a worry.
You haven't got an hour, and a lot of people aren't doing that. According to the polls, people are not doing that. People are sick and dead to tired. Actually,
if you look at the polls, you know, the worst state for him is Queensland.
Ah, why?
You guys are the ones who don't like him. I mean, I should be asking you, what's wrong with him?
Well, he sort of never comes here, and when he does, he just looks like a posh bloke pretending that he cares. That's basically the vibe that he gives off when he comes here.
Yeah, but that is him. I mean, the great problem with Malcolm, I think I used the line at the end of the piece, he only wants to talk to people who are as intelligent as he is, and he can't find any of them, so he doesn't talk to them.
What about Tony Abbott, though? I mean, he's been agitating from the sides for so long.
Yeah, he's loving, but he just hasn't got the numbers. He's alienated too many in the party, so they see him as a bit of a wrecker.
So he would probably be lucky to get 10 votes in a ballot. So I don't think Tony Abbott's going to figure in it. But I tell you what, he'll love seeing Turnbull defeated. He'll love that.
He will love it more than anyone.
So, Richo, 22 polls in a row, opinion polls, have gone against Malcolm Turnbull. So at some stage, some of these Liberal blokes are going to go, hold on, we're going to lose the election. I'm going to lose my job unless I step up and do something. Is that how it'll play out?
Exactly how it'll play out. Remember, that, you know, we've got quite a bit of time. It's not until June 19 that the election is due.
Oh, righto.
So they've got a whole next year to play around if they want to. But, of course, you've got to give your new man or your new woman, you've got to give them a bit of time. I just thought if you could do it at Christmas this year, it would be the ideal. But I don't know if there's anyone with the guts to do it yet.
Well, it sounds like it's these days, who needs elections? Because eventually we just get a new Prime Minister when they get sick of him, his own party, or get sick of him or her.
Yep.
Graham Richardson, mate, we'll see it Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on Sky. Read it in The Australian. Looking forward to a new Prime Minister. My money's on Lisa Wilkinson, but that's just me. We will speak to you soon.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
There's always a lot of violence and action on the news on a Sunday night because people have been getting up there and having some fun. And Channel 9 last night was no different.
It was sparked by a reveller who was thrown out of the Asian Beer Cafe.
There's a big stink on at some place in Melbourne called the Asian Beer Cafe.
Doesn't that sound exciting?
I've been to the Bavarian Beer Cafe, the Belgian Beer Cafe, the Asian Beer Cafe.
Hugely popular in Melbourne.
Oh.
Yeah, my wife's little brother, who's 19 slash 20. Yeah, they go there for prees because they got cheap jugs. And it goes off, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, it absolutely goes off.
The people who were there, judging by the fight, and I did see a lot of stools getting thrown. It was pretty rugged.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, it was full on. Well, it sounded a bit like this.
Whoa, what the f***?
That's hectic. weren't Asians. It was just a bit of everyone there. But I wanted to play this. You know, that's what happened. Apparently, it happened really fast. It was over in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. No one seemed to get hurt too badly, but... But this bloke was very upset. He may need counselling.
That is stupid. I felt bad after I saw blood and everything.
Ooh.
Thanks.
I felt bad.
Blood and everything.
You can't go to, when there's one of those big UFC fights on,
yeah.
I don't know if you can go to a place, like a big bar like that, because
Boys get punchy.
Yes.
Oh, that's what it happened.
Boys get punchy. Oh, they hated it.
They got all agitated.
Look at me.
I've got a solution.
Oh, that's your. That's a good.
That you do. You have the UFC fight, yeah, right, and then immediately afterwards, you cut straight to like the final scene in the movie Beaches or something like that,
and have Andre Rieu playing the violin.
Yeah, just something to bring, the vibe, yeah, back.
That'd
down.
That'd be great. We could play tuggy. The last bit in The Notebook. Oh. It was there never over.
Straight
it isn't
into
over.
Straight into The Notebook.
That's cool. Wow, now you've spoiled it for everyone. Yes. Yes. You taught me how they used to start working. You spoiled that movie.
Spoiler. Okay, let's talk 60 Minutes last night.
Mm. I didn't stay up for it, so we're going to have to rely on you to fill us in.
Okay, well, I've pulled off a couple of grabs for you in case you missed it. It's about Hannah Mountsey, who was the former handball Olympic Australian participant, who 2 years ago decided to go from Callum, I think it was, to Hannah.
Okay. Yep, okay, transition, so became transitions. A woman.
Right, so Peter Stefanovic was the reporter on 60 Minutes. And let's talk about the medical side of what happened.
2 years ago, he was diagnosed with gender dysphoria, a condition where a person's gender is different to the body they were born in.
And that was tough because you're sort of going, I'm 80, 90, 95% sure, but until you go, OK, well, I'm going to even just walk around the block at 1:30 in the morning as a female and see how comfortable you feel.
So is that what you did?
Yeah, it was literally like 5 minutes outside, pray there's no cars coming and then run back in. It's a difficult thing because the first time you do it, you go, Jesus, I look stupid and I feel like an idiot. But, you know, you just sort of have to do it.
While my questioning, do I say he or she?
She identifies as a woman.
Identifies as a woman.
Yeah.
So who gives that diagnosis? So, you know, he was diagnosed with, and then obviously there's a program that Callum then, now Hannah, was put on. Who gives you that program? Like, who says, right, this is what you got
to
do?
Well, you can go to special GPs, and they featured one a little GPs. Bit later on in the story, wow. And then you can get referred to, but they're qualified medical people.
Right. All right. Right. For anyone who doesn't know, and probably a lot of people do, but Hannah is really big. That's the that's the problem.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Hannah looks
exactly
like a bloke,
right.
And Hannah is very tall, 6'4".
No, yeah. 6'3".
And 100 kilograms.
Yeah. And all this story has come out because she wanted to join the women's AFL, and the women's AFL have now said that, no, she is too big and too strong.
That's why this story was on telly.
This is why this story has become everywhere, and now it's forcing all sporting bodies to look at their whole policy about men and women, because medically Hannah has very little testosterone left in her body, and so that she actually has the equal amount of testosterone that most women have.
But she's still got a body of a bloke.
She could qualify for with her testosterone levels. I read somewhere that she would qualify for the Olympics as a woman now.
Yes,
so she's allowed to play. She's allowed to go back to the Olympics, Marto, if she'd like.
Like that
as
girl
a woman.
From South Africa who runs the 800 meters, Caster Semenya.
That's right.
But he's not allowed to play AFL women's. And well, hang on, she's a woman. She wants to play. Why can't she play? What's going on?
What's the problem?
Well, why can't she play?
Well, they're just saying that, you know, she can't. And her coach was on. And this is the other issue.
The coach in Canberra, because she plays in Canberra in the local league at the moment.
Yeah, and this was the other issue, because this is what the coach said.
How would you describe her skill level?
Average. She's got nice, solid hands, which is good. And she could develop into a really good power forward, but she's got a lot of work in front of her.
So there's that whole issue of not being very good.
No, that's but she'll squish little girls.
But that's nonsense. If she's tall and strong, then you can play a full back or, you know, ruck or whatever, then surely just her physicality is going to, you know,
Melbourne's like in Victoria and the love of AFL. It's going to be any bloke who doesn't make the AFL, like gets cut, will just go, that's it.
No, they
I'm
won't.
A girl. I'm a girl, and they'll go and play AFL.
What a
AFL.
Load of rubbish. That is very good
saying,
in theory.
Hang on. Are you saying that after Luke Hodge retired from Hawthorn, instead of coming to the Brisbane Lions, he could have gone just straight to the Hawthorn women's team?
It's an exclusive.
Can I ask you about this Hannah? I will call her Hannah. Is that her name?
Thank
you. It's a name.
So she goes through life always as a female. Has she lost the junk?
Well, no. No, and this was the other thing that was quite interesting out of last night's story.
Were you more attracted to females or males at that
point? Oh, yeah, girls for sure. I still am. You know, and that's something people don't really understand. Gender identity and, you know, sexuality, they're completely different.
It's a good way to meet chicks. Playing footy.
Is it ever?
Good way to meet chicks.
So
good
if
luck
you're,
to you,
I
Hannah.
Go back to my previous point. If you're a dud AFL player, you haven't quite made it. You're across there, so you get yourself a missus and a game of footy.
I think that's your watch going off
that's
saying
weekend time to get up.
There's
going to
be
sorry
a meeting. There's going to be a meeting for you.
Okay, so I got a text message on Sunday from a friend of mine called Mr. C who said the new Taco Bell is open in Annerley. It's in the old Sizzler site. And we went to when we were recently
on Ipswich
in,
Road there.
Yeah, on Ipswich Road. When we were recently in Hawaii, we did a trek with my youngest son, Piper, to go and find Taco Bell, and he loved it. So I thought, okay, mate, jump in the car, grab your brothers, we'll go over and see. Man, there was a queue that I reckon was about an hour to 90 minutes to get Taco Bell.
You sent a photo.
I know.
That's
it was obscene. And then when I was talking to a couple of people about it, it had been going all day. Like people were willing to line up for over an hour
for
Taco Bell. You
better explain. Sizzler shops have closed down, and I think we briefly touched on this. The mob that own KFC and something else, they used to own Sizzler, they now own Taco Bell. So they're putting Taco Bell into Sizzler restaurants. Is that how this is happening?
Yeah, and people are super excited. I mean, remember.
Why are people excited? Is it cheap or is it?
But it's failed. Like, we've been down this track, Robin Bailey. I had it the first time it came to Australia, although I have said this program before, and I'm shocked it didn't make national headlines, is that in the meantime, Mexican food has become very normal here in Australia.
Yeah.
It's had its second win. It's the new Thai food. Mexican's the new Thai.
Where does it sit? Remember you've told me and I've forgotten. Guzman and Gomez, is it above there in terms
below.
Of price
below? You can buy a dollar taco.
Oh,
it's that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's what we got.
I had Guzman and Gomez for dinner last night, and look, hats off to everyone. Guzman and Gomez.
Anyway, I just am curious.
Sombrero's off.
Have people queued up for stuff? Are you a queuer?
Oh, never. I would never, ever queue. Did you get in the queue?
No, we didn't. I said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to remember back in Hawaii. That's as close as we're going to go.
Well done.
but people obviously were and did. I mean, you know, you see them queuing up for outside the front of Apple stores waiting for the
that was
new
on Friday.
iPhone.
Great call. You That's see people true, yeah. queuing up on a Saturday night to get into nightclubs and stuff, and I just go, what is the use of that? It can't be that bloody good.
Well, I don't know. What have you queued for?
Queue up for?
I mean, what have you queued for, and was it worth it, Robin?
That's when I was a much younger girl, I used to queue outside of Ticketek, and in fact, if Mum had let me, I'd stay overnight. Because it was fun.
Remember
for David Bowie, I did that.
People
thank you very much.
People queue to get into schools.
Yeah. I know. There's that kindy out at Samford where they don't take and they queue overnight. In fact, they queue weekends to get their kids in there.
The only place you should queue is in immigration when you're arriving in a country. That is the one and only place.
Even then, and you were hopeless in Hawaii.
Oh,
you were grumbling
so
and grunting.
I can't queue, but you can't avoid that. I will just leave any queue. I'll turn around in traffic jams. I hate queuing.
What about queuing to get your boat into a boat ramp?
It rarely happens.
Okay.
Well, that's when the fight happens.
Christine from Caboolture. Christine, what did you queue for?
Expo 88. Not getting into Expo 88, but getting into the displays that they had. I think the American one took something like 2 hours.
Yep.
Yes, it did.
And I didn't go to it because there was a queue.
The Chinese one. And remember the New Zealand one? The New Zealand one had that huge queue as well. Yeah. You know what the key was, and I did this, this guy has a season pass, thanks for asking, is that you...
Yes, I did too.
Me too.
Yeah. I didn't go to school. I just missed a day of school, and I was on the doorstep as it opened, and I got into all three of those. I remember like it was yesterday. What a day that was.
But was it worth it?
Yes.
Yes, it was, because of the things inside. Yes, absolutely.
I'm really happy for both of you, queuing and all the rest of it.
I've still got my actual expo.
Well, you know where I was? Well, you're in the queue. You know what I was doing?
What?
Chicken dancing and full of beer. It was magnificent. There was no queue for the German beer hall.
Yeah, that's great. Well played, Christine.
Thank you. And Gary of Yoronga, what'd you queue for?
Yeah, we were in New York City at Christmas time, and we'd been given the hint that this Chinese restaurant had great dumplings, so we went down Friday night, and there was a queue, and we queued for 2.5 hours.
For dumplings?
Gosh.
Yeah, for dumplings.
How were they?
Yeah, really.
They were great.
Worth
the wait? Were they any better than the Chinese restaurant two doors down?
I don't know. Didn't queue there.
Yeah. Has anyone, we all work near the city.
Oh, that's
anyone,
funny, mate.
Just carry on, Gary. You might work in the city. There's a sushi shop in Adelaide Street just up from Edward.
That joint.
They have 50-metre queues every single day.
If anyone knows, actually, 1-3-5-3, what is it about that sushi joint in Adelaide Street? What is it about that place that is so special? Because you're right, mate. It is
that the bubble juice? Is that the one that sells the bubble juice?
Oh, maybe.
I've never been in there.
My kids have told me about that.
Yeah, it is.
I don't
very
know
popular.
What bubble
tea. Sorry, bubble tea.
It goes all the way back along Adelaide Street to Edward Street, about 1,500 metres every lunchtime.
The queue is so long that the back of the queue actually hits another sushi place. That's how odd it is.
How bad must they feel?
What do you do that?
Yeah, you get caught there.
We also the big sell
issue,
sushi.
The big issue guy on the corner there has to speak to you. You're in the queue. There's nothing more uncomfortable than you can't escape the big issue guy.
Got to buy it.
Yeah. Oh, I like the big issue. Julie of Wavell Heights, what have you queued for?
Oh, yes, my husband on Friday went into Chermside to queue up for the new phone, the Apple
phone.
Yeah, and it was just hilarious because he's in his 50s. It's for my son's 17th birthday. he got up at 3 in the morning. He was in there at 4. He was number 38 in the queue. But the funny thing is my son said, look, let's go and see Dad at 7 o'clock and watch him queuing up. So we approached the store. We approached everyone in the queue, took photos. Everyone was just standing there stunned. They were so tired from standing. My husband didn't even take a chair in.
No chair,
but it was just hilarious watching it. You know, the fact that he even went in and did it.
Did he get one in the end? Because I hear they might have run short.
He did, and it's an amazing phone.
What a nice dad.
But what happened was my husband, we promised my son a year ago that he could get the new phone, and little did we know the upgrade would be from the 6-7, we thought it'd just be to the 8, but little did we know it would be a jump to a 10, and it just turned out to be so expensive. But anyway,
yes, anyway, I know, we know the story. Day, good parent.
And Scotty of Sunny Coast, what'd you queue for?
Me and my mates, we waited for a beer when the Broncos went over to play at near the QE2 Stadium.
Yeah.
They had about 66,000 there, so they were inundated, had about, 15,000, 16,000 more people turn up than expected.
Yeah.
And they played Parramatta and we missed the first half of the game waiting for a beer.
Oh, my Lord.
Mate, that's
absolutely worth it.
That's got to be 16. That's 15 years ago.
Yep. Yeah, and Brisbane lost.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I think Scotty's still in that queue, poor bugger.
Smarter Ed and Robin on Triple M.
And what everyone will be saying today in the offices and sites around Australia, what do you like in the cup? What do you like in the cup, Ed?
What do you like in the cup, mate? I like what Brendan told me. Ventura Storm. That's who I like. Why do I like that, Brendan?
It's a roughie. It's a roughie. It's won 4 of its last 5 at 2,200 metres. Never run the 3,200 metres, but Glenn Boss is in the saddle, and Bossy knows how to ride a horse, doesn't he?
Yeah, Bossy. Sure,
I like Bossy.
Geez, I'm hearing a lot about Marmello.
I like Marmello.
It's a British horse.
Put it down. Just need to limit it all to about 12 in the field if you can.
And Hugh Bowman, too. The jockey's Hugh Bowman. That's good.
What else does Hugh Bowman do?
Winks.
Oh, good girl.
Hey.
Oh,
hey, look at me paying attention to this breakfast radio show.
What's your favourite colour? Which colour am I going to pick this year, Robin Bailey?
Okay, well, I like Red Cardinal. I don't know why. I thought it was a German horse, but they've sang here in the paper it's Irish.
Never lost over 3,200
metres. There you go.
What? Never lost.
2 from 2, paying $19.
The other one I like is Single Gaze because it's being raced by a female jockey by the name of Kathy
O'Hara. Paying $41. Came second in the Caulfield Cup.
Oh, you are a wealth of information, Brendo.
Love the Melbourne Cup.
So it goes all right, does it?
Mm. So there you go. And then what's the other one? Sismontane?
Don't worry about that.
New Zealand horse by Gay Waterhouse.
Think about it. It ran its guts out to win that thing on Saturday.
Lexus, I think.
Lexus, yeah. Ran, and you always worry that you put in 100% to back up by Tuesday.
Was that one on Saturday or Sunday?
It was Saturday. It's Gay Waterhouse train.
2 day
horse,
burn,
though.
Come on,
is there a narrative? Because you got to remember it was Damien Oliver, and he's very sadly his brother had passed away. Then there was
Michelle
Payne with her brother and the first female jockey. Is there like a horse that has transitioned, used to be a male, now a female, or is there a refugee horse? Or is there like
refugee horse? Kieran McAvoy
just swam up one day. Where are you from? I've come home from Indonesia to escape the harshness of the regime.
Well, if that were true, then you wouldn't want the jockey of Winx to win, would you? He's already had enough, guys.
Like he's a
very romantic story. A lot of people going, oh, the Williams family. Lloyd Williams, you know. He's real battler. He's won five. They're calling him because they're looking for someone to replace Bart Cummings, the Cup's king, and they're going, yeah, the Williams, they might get there. I've just looked them up. They're worth $670 million, so they're battlers. I did get the voice. Have a listen to this. This is his son. So I think Lloyd Williams, he used to own the Crown Casino. Oh, that little thing. Huh. And was Kerry Packer's best mate. But here's his son. Do you reckon he's been chomping on a couple of Marlboros?
Last year, he certainly wasn't the finished article. This year, he is. And we've got no doubt he's improved. And to have the honour of having a back-to-back winner would make
sort of play that.
Is that him or is that Russell Crowe playing here?
He was talking about Al Mann. And what number is Al Mann? Probably two or something. Is it number two? He was talking about last year's winner. See, a lot of people going, oh, he's gotten even better. That's what he's trying to say. And they're battlers.
Hey,
they should
back
know.
Back to back. Mm. That's too hard. Hey, but Brenda, we've got some, I believe, you know, enough about us, our nonsense. Tomorrow's a big day for the Melbourne Cup on this show.
Yes, it is.
We've got our sweep.
Yes, we've got the sweep, of course. Anyone that calls
everyone
into the show
something
will get a horse. Mm. So someone will be a winner. And you know what? We'll give a booby prize as well for someone that comes last.
And Sorry.
Our trainer, Richard Friedman, will be on the show. Last year, he picked the first four. He boxed six horses for you.
Yeah, man.
He did get the first four. I believe he won about $20,000. Don't worry about that. He had plenty of money on it. So first four he picked last year, he's going to give us some tips tomorrow as well.
And Marta, you got 24 hours to finish my fascinator.
I didn't think you were serious.
Of
you told
I'm
me you
serious.
Weren't going to the Melbourne
Cup.
Well,
I am now, and I've been looking for a place to go. I'm on standby at the regatta. Or there's also this amazing thing happening at Handsworth House. So I've got an outfit. I just need a hat.
What do you need?
A fascinator.
A fascinator. Thank now, what you. I what we know about fascinators, I started it the other day because I didn't know you were going to be serious. Just some wire out of the shed, and then I'm attaching small bits and pieces of things. Trinkets from my shed.
Do you want me to show you what I'm wearing so you can match it? Yellow would
that
be
won't
a good
be a problem.
Start.
No, I think we start with the fascinator, and then you see if you can find anything that matches what
that
I'm baking.
That will be the glory of tomorrow.
Will you wear it if I make you a fascinator?
Yeah,
because
I'm not
going to spend hours in my shed for no reason. Oh, that's what I normally do. Yeah, that's right.
Ed Cavalier, why are we looking for crabbers?
We're talking crabbing. Marto's a keen crabber. He's got a secret spot, which we don't discuss on air, which is fine. But I am fascinated by this because crabs are expensive. You know, to buy a crab, Marto, can be up, you know, $20, something like that.
I wouldn't buy them.
No, he would know because he catches them in his secret spot.
But my problem is, and I don't know why I brought it up this morning of all things, but because I don't live on the water, I have to go into other people's waterways.
Yeah, you go to government land, which is smart.
Well, I said you don't talk about that.
I didn't say where.
Okay.
I didn't say where you go.
Okay, why don't you want us to talk about it in case you get busted?
No. This is what I do want to talk about because we had somebody on before who wasn't a crabber. I wanted to engage him. But I get my crab pot stolen. Now, the crab pots, God, what do they cost me at BCF? $21, $22 or something for a crab pot, okay?
Yeah.
You get the bugger stolen.
Oh, outrage.
Do you realise what happens? People roll around because you put the crab pot in and it's got to go through at least one high tide and then hopefully the crab gets stuck in there. And
off
away
you go.
Come.
Bob's your
people
uncle.
Come along and just check your crab pot. They steal crabs. There's one. And they also steal your whole pot.
Oh, outrageous.
No, don't say that.
Michael from Redcliffe.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, crabbing on, mate. Now, listen, how do you avoid your crab pot getting stolen?
Well, you sink them. You're working with a grappling hook.
Yes, righto. Tell everyone. A bloke told me this the other day, and I was astounded. Like, you don't put a float on the water. You know, do you guys?
Yeah. So you can see where they are.
Yeah,
so you don't do that.
Not anymore.
No, not at all, mate. You throw them in, and you have a grappling hook. You know where they are.
How do you know that? What if you forget?
You know?
What if you forget?
GPS locator.
Oh, come on. No, you don't have a locator. A little mark on the tree. Try a little bit of ribbon up.
Mark on
the
tree.
Yeah.
Oh, Michael.
Okay, Michael.
Great,
Michael.
I'm giving it away.
No. The bloke on the weekend I was talking to said he uses a GPS locator on his phone.
Oh, well, you probably could. But I'm an old school guy. I come from Cribby. I learnt crabbing at Crib Island, mate.
Hold on.
Hey, Michael.
Tell everyone, Crib Island, we had the Bee Gees on because Robin won the Friday Fun one.
You were the only one that knew they were from Crib Island. Robin said Redcliffe, but hey, come on.
No, so did Brenda. So they're a bunch of Muppets, mate, I have to work with. Muppet. Michael, tell everyone where Crib Island was. Hold on, listen to Michael.
Well, when you come in to land on a plane, you fly over Crib Island. It's where the airport runway is now.
Do people live there?
Oh,
they used to.
Right.
They used to.
missed it.
So they reclaimed all that, did they? Did they take it all back, basically?
Reclaimed it all, mate. Yeah. There was a picture theatre, roller skating rink, police station, school.
Really? What, they just bought it all back off and you guys were told to leave?
1980, they tossed us all out.
Wow.
She would have been a loose joint, Michael.
Look, there's a lot of stories about it. It was great. Great upbringing. Look, a lot of good people there. I couldn't wish for... I wish my kids were brought up there.
Yeah.
You're living right on the water. I can remember my father walking in through the back door because we lived right on the water. If there was 6 foot at the Brisbane River, we had 6 foot at the back door walking in through the kitchen with a broom on. Yeah.
So did they get rid of the houses? Great. Like, is it all still set up there
gone? Gone.
Jeez, you would have caught some crabs. Did you ever meet the Bee Gees or did the family have stories about the Bee Gees boys?
My older sister did, yeah. She went to school with them.
There you go.
Went to school with the Bee Gees.
What a great caller you have turned out to be, Michael.
Michael, sorry to James and Saxon, two other crabbers. We'll talk crabbing again another day because Michael was just too darn interesting. I didn't get to ask him where his best spot was. He wouldn't have told me, would he, Marto?
Michael.
Where is he? Redcliffe.
Michael,
where's your best spot?
I am available, Marto. Secret squirrel of... I'll tell you over a cold beer one day.
Righto, mate. You're on. Hey, I'm up your way today. I've got to go to Kippering for something. Where are you? What part of Redcliffe?
Well, mate, I live on Marine Parade. I was in actually Hayes Inlet yesterday and caught three brim just fishing at the back of my mother-in-law's place.
Ooh, so. I like you.
Hayes Triple brim. Inlet. That was Triple. Hayes Inlet.
Shut up.
Marco and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M.
Oh.